Quick question for everybody out there. Who enjoys getting injured after taking a pop to the chops? Well, as someone who spends multiple hours per week speaking into a microphone, I know I don't. And I especially don't have the time to be making unnecessary trips and visits to the dentist's office. That's why I trust my oral protection needs to Impact Mouthguards. Impact Mouthguards offers custom molded, custom fit solutions for everything from mixed martial arts and Brazilian jiu-jitsu to powerlifting and nighttime products. Impact Mouthguards merchandise lineup offers things for both the badass beauties and the bearded badasses out there. Everything from rash guards and t-shirts to stickers and finger tape. Make sure that you check out www.impactmouthguards.com. Use the promo code PeanutGallery in the checkout. Save yourself some money, and now let's get on with the show.
Yeah, brown skin, short legs, and fat ass. Son, that's my type, I cannot pass. Walked up, said we from Colorado. Are we hanging
out? What is up, ladies and gentlemen? This is Jordan Kurtz with the comments from the Peanut Gallery podcast. I'm here back again with my friend Micah Haas. How you doing, brother?
Fantastic.
Awesome, my man. Well, hey, it's been it's great to have you back on. I appreciate you taking the time.
Yeah, I'm excited to talk with my favorite commentator and MMA analysis guy in the game, Mr. Jordan.
I appreciate you, man. I appreciate the kind words. That definitely means a lot. So speaking of me doing commentary, I'm doing it for Colorado Combat Club on June 5th. You are on that card.
Yes, sir. That's like half the reason we took it. We had like a couple of different fights from a different couple of organizations inside, outside of like, well, no, not inside Colorado, outside Colorado. And we were like, Colorado Combat Club took care of us last time. They were a great organization. Plus, we get the commentary of Jordan Kurtz. Who knows what we're talking about? This makes it look better on tape. So we might as well take that one. So you're part of it. You're part of the plan, bro.
Thank you, man. That definitely means a lot that I played a small role in the decision process there for you. Now, let's talk a little bit. Let's dive right into it. So first and foremost, where can people follow you?
Instagram, SuperJew_MMA. Facebook, Micah Haas, obviously. Shout out to all my sponsors. So a couple, just the ones that have been here since the beginning, Fight to Live, 2223, Gun Rights, Second Amendment, Pure Rights, Sham Boogie, the crunchiest, gooshiest band on the East Coast. Manicure Denver, the best all-natural manicure spot in Northeast Denver. I'm adding two more. Melton, who's is a vegan and high-end dessert and ice cream spot in Rhino, Colorado. And we're adding a few more in the next 2 weeks as we get ready for my fight. Obviously, shout out to Prize Fighting Organization as well, Prize Fighting Business. And, of course, home base, Genesis Training Academy. Without them, I'm not here.
You're leveling up on that sponsorship game, brother. That's a lot longer list than the last time we spoke.
Yeah, trying to not work anymore, trying to get these people paying me to do what I want to do.
Hey, that's the way to do it, man. Just go all in with it. That's the best way to go about it, you know. So let's talk your matchup real quick. So what are your thoughts on the matchup? You know, what can we expect? What can we expect from you? Give me the rundown here.
So with this guy, I'll say this, kind of backtrack a little bit. My last fight, I took an L. The opponent was great. Nothing but credit to Jason Scott.
Yeah, he's a really good beast.
I didn't give him all that credit. I hope you get that fight back at some point sooner than later. But with that last fight, there's a first fight, even in like not only fight, but like rest, any type of like high end sport that I produced in that I've like watched tape on my guy. Just because he had so much tape and we kind of knew what his style was. That was like the first fight where I took a lot of my opponent's strategy into my fight camp and into my strategy. I think it kind of hurt me because I was just so ready to go into that space with him. And I knew there were some other positions I could have been a little bit more dominant or given less of a risk. But I wanted to take those chances just because I put that in my mind all throughout my training camp. So this fight going this guy, I literally told my agent, I was like, I think they gave us like three different names. I was like, it doesn't matter, whoever, it doesn't matter. They're like 25, 35. I was like, let's do 35. Let's see how I feel there. Let's change it up. Again, I'm amateur. This is a time where you want to, like, you know, trial and error, trade some things off, see where you're at here, see where you're at there. So this will be the first fight at 135. I've taken a 130 bout. We'll see how my body, see how my performance feels there. But going back to your question, which was,
going back to your question. So give me your thoughts on the matchup itself. I apologize, people listening.
No, you're fine.
That's all.
So going back to the matchup, it's 100% focused on me in this camp. Focused on exactly what I want to do, using my style and things like this. And that's just the training camp right now. It's just all Micah Haas driven, nothing else.
Very nice. Very nice. So what does that exactly mean for you, that everything is focused on you? You know, talk me through that. What's this camp look like?
So my last camp, like, it's weird because, like, Tony Ferguson was talking about it in the loss leading up to this last loss. He was talking about how his, like, last couple camps, like, I'm not saying I'm a leader in the room, but, like, Tony's talking about how he's, like, spending a lot of his time, taking away from his own time, helping out people, showing people his, like, signature moves, his, like, insider information and stuff like that, and getting away from, like, just focusing on himself. So recently I've been, like, a lot more selfish in the room. Like, I've been trying to take heads off. I've been trying to rip heads off and rip arms off and kind of, like, put that into the granite that, you know, that's where I'm going to be in my fights. I'm not going to be in bad situations and bad places and work out of them. I'm going to be the one applying the bad positions and stuff like that. So this training camp, yeah, it's just a little bit more, like, selfish, a little more focused. Obviously, like, a little less weight retainment, a little less focusing on, you know, my weight itself. Diet still, like, super clean. We've been putting in some extra conditioning and cardio sessions for this camp all around too, just to get myself comfortable with carrying a little bit extra weight and having oxygen, you know, blood, oxygen feeding the blood throughout the fight. So right now I'm feeling like a killer, man. I'm really excited for this fight. I love Colorado Combat Club. The first time we fought for them, I think, like, every single fight but one was a finish. There's just, like, a different, like, era down there in Pueblo. Those dudes want violence, and, like, I'm excited to give it to them. I feel like my he's excited for the violence too. I feel like he's a dude that's, like, is down to take one and throw one and see who still stands. So I'm looking forward to that.
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, it's going to be a great night down in the Steel City, man. It's going to be some slugfest going on. I cannot wait to call the action. So obviously, you know, you're with a pretty sizable team over there at Genesis, but who more specifically has been within your training circle for this camp?
God, there's been so many. We've been going around and working with different guys. A lot of guys have been coming in and out of our room, getting ready for their camps and things like that. A couple of guys that just haven't taken fights I've been working with a lot. A couple of, like, college wrestlers, Division III wrestlers, our New York team, that there's been bodies in there for me. I feel really bad because I'm forgetting Mario's last name. But
Wazzo?
Yeah. Yep. Mario and I have been killing each other in the room. We had some awesome rounds this Tuesday. Other than that, Jared Scott, Zulu Avix, Archie and I have been getting some rounds and getting some wrestling and technique situations going. And then I've just been getting a lot of one-on-one training with Jake, who right now is out with Grant Neal getting ready for his fight for Bellator Friday, and our coach Luke, who's going to be my corner coming up in this fight.
Very nice. So you mentioned you've ramped up some of your efforts on the strength and conditioning side. So what does that look like for you? Where are you doing that at? Is that all just in-house, or how do you handle that?
Some of it's in-house. Some of it's with Mike Schultz, Shark Fitness, that's in our gym. And then a lot of it's just long bicycle rides, doing, like, minimum, like, 12 to 20 miles almost every day before and after my practices, either before if I'm doing evening practice, or after if I'm doing a morning practice. So today we did an hour and 30 minutes of good wrestling with, like, heavy wrestling conditioning at the beginning. Then we did some drilling. Then we did some situation. Then we did some straight live goes. And then I got back right here, hopped on a bike. And then I called you from my bicycle and I got right back home, hopped on this. So that's why I look all red and dead.
Hey man, you got to get that work that's maximizing the hours in the day, right? We all have the same 84,600. That's all a matter of how you choose to use them.
Exactly.
So you mentioned that, you know, you're trying to transition into being full-time fighter, not having to work, you know, really deal with the work side, you know, a traditional sort of job. How far off do you feel that you are from making that a reality?
Well, obviously there's the dreams only come reality if the wins keep coming. Obviously we just took a little delay on that. With that win over Jason Scott, I feel like that would have really propelled me far. Again, he's a big name. He's got a great record, and he's going to, if he is going to be making his pro debut, whatever he does, he's going to look good doing it. So I think it's not far off. I'm getting close to there. I have great supporters, non-personally affiliate and personally affiliate, that are really supporting me really well at the beginning already. I get great commentators that post me up in my fights that make me look good and sound good. So that always helped with that. I think we're pretty close. I think my year off where I can taper back even more and more with my workload. That's what I'm doing. So like, again, before I came out here, I was working like 60 hours in real estate. And then through this whole year, now I'm working like 25 hours a week maximum. And that gets me about 20 hours in the room and vice versa, doing whatever I need to do, whatever I want to do outside, if that's recovery or if that's working out and stuff like that. So I think we're close. I think a couple of good performances, a couple more highlights look pretty on people's websites and Instagrams will get me there. So we'll see.
Oh yeah, definitely. Well, I mean, you've got the plan. So that's, you know, for most people, they don't even have the plan going deep into this thing. So for stage where you're at, I feel like that's already a step ahead of where most people are in that regard. So, you know, if we were to kind of expand upon that perfect world, everything is just fighting, no, nothing external. You just maybe looking to do some day trading. You mentioned being a part of the market or, you know, real estate. I feel like that's something that you could always kind of hold on to, or as long as you keep all of your certificates, licenses, all that up. That's always something you could just kind of do on the side too. Is that something that you would see yourself doing?
Yeah. So like I have my MLO license, which is a mortgage loan officer license. They call it mortgage originator now because of this, like the terminology of like a loan officer. So I always would keep that license. I always pay for it, my continuing education, things like that. And yeah, that's a goal. So I have been getting into a little bit like trade stocking and stuff like that. And that's been doing pretty well. And that's through, you know, you never want to take anyone's word for word, but I have a couple people that I work with that are doing really successful with that. So I'm kind of following off them, kind of piggybacking off of them to make a couple extra dollars, which is great. And then, yeah, just constantly having like clients call me and stuff like that. And that just helps and things like this, referrals and things like this, where I can not even necessarily be like 100% there and still be able to roll in a little bit of extra cash and stuff like that. So yeah, just hopefully these sponsorships start kicking in more and more, and that starts taking over more of that, that side, so I can take off less and less time. But yeah, we have goals, we have plans, and you know, we're not taking it like, oh, this many fights until I go pro, or this many wins, or this and that. I just want more mat time. I don't get hurt really. I never get touched in my fight, so I'm not taking damage or anything like that. With fighting 135, I'm not going to be doing any heavy weight cuts where I'm going to be like destroying my body right now and stuff like that. So I want to get this fight in, roll it through real quick, go fight again maybe in July, even early August, and try to get like two or three more this year. Who knows, maybe one of those will be pro, maybe one of them won't. But I want to get a couple shiny things. I want belts. I love pretty things. I love shiny things. So I want to get a couple of those. But yeah, so we have a plan. We have an idea. It's all just, you know, how my body produces and how I respond to the pressure and whatever comes forward.
So you as a finance guy, and just being kind of plugged into that side of things, you know, the real estate market, all that, especially as crazy as it's been in Denver, let's just switch gears for a minute, because that's been a major topic across, you know, pop culture, everything else, from the from the Robin Hood stuff all the way down, you know, from the upswings and downswings of the cryptocurrencies like Dogecoin, all of that. What's kind of your thoughts on all of that?
Well, if I'm like sitting here giving advice and talking to people about where our market is and where it's going in Colorado, and like compared to like the West Coast and stuff like that, I hear a lot of people saying that like our market's gonna collapse, and that we're in like a overly inflated market and stuff like Colorado and such like that. But like the term that we always like to say in like mortgage world is inflation isn't inflation. Inflation is just desire. So people are going to pay whatever they will for what they desire. So like you could say that the cost per square foot of these houses isn't worth it, but people are willing to pay it. So it's just something you have to deal with. You see a lot of people like flooding California and flooding like Northern Washington area. And you see a lot of Texan license plates in Colorado. And like a lot of it's big money and big California money that's pushing our market up. But like, I don't see it slowing down anytime soon. I don't see it necessarily like people say it's like, I'm waiting till next year or till February when the market crashes. Like our market's not going to crash. The federal government and mortgage loan companies and real estate companies have laws in place that weren't back in 2012 and like 2008 that keep this market being able from that from happening. It's mainly retrading loans and things like this. So like if you're going to buy, if you're looking to buy, if you're looking to start renting your property out, just do it. Just like do it. If you see a property that you know think you can get to, go apply. There are so many different application processes. Talk to somebody you know personally so you don't have to necessarily like dive in 100%, get your credit check, all these things. But definitely just like look, because like most people today don't think they can buy when they're paying a $2,000 rent. Like in this system right now, it is a buyer's market and it's saturated. So there's a lot of people trying to buy the same house that you're buying. But if you're looking in the right areas and you have the capital, stop renting, go buy. If we're talking on that subject.
Definitely. So what would you say to the person who says, well, wouldn't you think that based off of all of the people who have lost work and all of that through the last year due to the pandemic, that there would be some sort of COVID fallout as it comes to the market? What would you say to someone who has that thought process?
If we were in a state like, say, like Tennessee, Kansas, Michigan, even like Utah and other states, I would say like, yes, you know, we see economy's been declining. Not a lot of people have money. You should see a dip in buying, but this is like a destination state. Like you have so much money flooding in this state and that's not going to stop anytime soon. You can go like your in-laws or your parents that live in California that have a house that is maybe 2,000 square feet that's worth $1.5 million. They're selling their houses. They're getting out of California. They're going to buy two or three properties with what they sell their house that they've had since 1980s out here. So like we don't live in a state where like the money's not there. Like we do have that. Colorado's that weird state and it's transitioned so much. Like it's been transitioning to a blue state and things like that. And that's why you see a lot of money pouring into it stuff. And like, you know, if you're talking about West Kansas, aka like East Colorado and those areas, you can buy land so cheap. And that's, you know, I can see like increases in that area, but destination areas and stuff like that, it's not going to stop. It's not going to stop. More people, you see more new license plates, more temporary license plates. Those are people that are selling houses, buying new cars, buying renting companies, you know, fully redeveloping a house before they move in. It's not people that are like scraping their sense. So again, if you have the capital, do it now, because in a year, it might not be a higher, it might not be inflating faster, but it still will be inflating, especially in like destination areas. You're talking like Golden, where I am, Roxborough Park, like anywhere around the mountains, anywhere on the western side of Colorado, and anywhere in Denver, you're not going to see it going down. You might see it slow down, but it's not going down. So it's not helping you.
Definitely. I mean, I totally understand what you're saying along those lines. I was in, before I transitioned into doing this all the way, I was in sales up in Northern Colorado in Fort Collins and pretty much serviced the entire Tri-City area, Greeley, Loveland, Fort Collins, that whole, and man, it was boom. I remember at one point they gave us the statistic that there were more than 200 people per day moving into Northern Colorado alone. So just thinking of the numbers, you know, where that has came, you know, over the last couple of years, the accumulation effect, like, yeah, there's no wonder. Like, I mean, traffic is definitely picked up a lot through at least the last, you know, decade plus or decade and a half around in there. And as you mentioned, Colorado is a destination state that, you know, when I remember when I was a kid and we would go travel and, you know, we would go to some place like Florida or elsewhere out there. And, you know, you tell people that you're from Colorado and they would think that you were like some sort of hit cowboy.
Right,
like
exactly.
That was like the thought process of what Colorado was. But right. Then I feel like now, like just as you mentioned, like it's a destination place.
Yeah. Yeah, it's wealthy. And like, yeah, when you're going hiking, you're not seeing old Fords and beat up, you know, Wranglers as much. You're seeing Lexuses and BMWs and things like that. These people that are just, you know, coming here with money. And that's why you see such a high spike in the market in the last like year and a half. But yeah, it's not going to stop anytime soon, especially with what you see in California in like a political standpoint, like taxation and just like how much they're burning on people's real estate investments out there. People are selling out there and buying out here. My uncle, my father, our family owns a real estate company. We have like 13 different properties and they're all based mainly in California. And we are transitioning and we're selling all those properties. We're buying in like a little bit in Oregon, a little bit in Salt Lake, a little bit in Colorado, a little bit in like outside Las Vegas, like Arizona and stuff like that. Cause it's like, you can do so much more with it and you can see that just going to keep going up in those areas. And there's no fear from real estate. That's what they want to keep saying. They want to keep saying like, oh yes, wait a little bit longer as they buy everything up and take over everything. So
funny how that works, right?
Yeah. It's funny how it works.
Yeah. They just want to tell you to not go after it so they can stay doing their thing.
I've heard it so many times and it's just like,
yep.
Unfortunate. I talked to some friends and they're like, they never think they could buy it. And then we talk and we look at numbers and they're like, that's what I'm paying now. And you're like, yep. And just think about that. You can be putting equity away. And I thought that most people only think about this because they're so stuck in like that general, you know, they've been doing it 10 years, they've been renting since they're 20 years old, they're 30 something now. So it's just something that they become familiarized with and just like change is always accustomed with bad. So, you know, but.
Yeah, definitely. Well, and as you mentioned, you know, just to highlight how beautiful our state is.
Dude, it's so gorgeous.
One of my childhood best friends, teammate growing up, roommate in college, all that, he, during the pandemic, moved out to Minneapolis.
Okay.
And he was like, man, I now understand why so many people flock to Colorado.
Yeah.
He said, especially, you know, I mean, obviously it was a little bit of a different circumstance up there this last winter and the time that he's been up there because of everything being kind of, you know, shut down. But, you know, I said the fact of it is bitter cold in that whole Midwest a lot. Just all that element to it. He said, yeah, I can understand why people flock to Colorado to come for our 300 days of sunshine, for all of the, you know, the mountains and just the nature and everything along those lines.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, we're blessed, dude. That's why it's so easy, like bicycle out here. You're bicycling and you're like, man, this hill sucks. And you like look to your right, you see beautiful clouds and rolling mountains. You're like, oh, this isn't bad. Do a couple more miles out here. This is easy.
Could be a lot worse, right?
A lot worse. Yep.
Speaking of nature, have you been on the water lately? Have you been throwing the rope out there, ripping some lip, catching some fish?
I have not been fishing as much as I'd like to. I'm going after this fight. I know I plan on taking a fight quickly after, but I want to spend at least like 2 or 3 days just on the kayak or either fly fishing and just try and get on some fish. Gillespie fought the other weekend. You know how he's always like calling himself the best fisherman in MMA and stuff like that. I'm like, I need to practice. So by the time I get to UFC, I'm going to challenge that guy at a fishing tournament. I'm going to make him look bad. So I got to put some time on the water too.
Nice. So, well, I mean, I think that I was kind of surprised at the response of how many fighters in the UFC are actually like big into fishing. Like you saw it like left and right on guys' Instagrams and Twitters, like, yeah. Hey man, I fish too. Or like best fisherman. Yeah. Come and see me, like that whole sort of thing.
Dude, there's like, just like in MMA and like wrestling and any combat sports where there's this like ego and this like competitive drive, like, there's something about fishing where if you're into fishing and you really fish, like you take it super serious. And I'm sure like guys in MMA that do fish, when they're fishing with their friends, they're doing like little personal tournaments with each other and like every single fish is like do or die and things like this. But it's a great sport, and in our sport, our mental is by far our most important weapon and the most important thing that we need to protect. And being out in nature, obviously, this helps with anything from anxiety and just calming things down. It helps you work out, helps you problem solve and things like this. You know, being out in clean air is going to be great for your cardiovascular system. But I think just like being able to do something that slows us down, because most of us are such fast-paced individuals. We probably drive fast. We do everything we do at work. We do fast. We're in the room. Obviously, it's always go, 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 press, press, press. So when you have to like sit there and methodically do something slow, it's like a really, really good recovery for your mind and your soul. And I think that's why a lot of us do it, because that violence, man, it definitely takes away from like humanity a little bit. So like going in nature and just being somewhere, I think helps a lot.
I could totally see that, you know, and especially I feel like fly fishing is very cerebral in the sense also in that it just gives you a different stimulus.
Yep, for sure.
That makes sense. Like people who don't know out there, like fly fishing is not regular bait cast fishing, just throw it out there and wait for the fish to come and hit your line. Fly fishing is, you know, it's very active fishing in that you're always keeping an eye on where your line is. You know, you're mending, you're seeing where the seams and where the runs in the water are. You know, you're always having to be observant.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
You've got to have some, you know, a little bit of awareness of your surroundings too, in the sense in that you can't just throw out that garlic power bait and, you know, think that you're going to be good there. You've got to have something that's going to, you know, relic the hatch in the area, or maybe it's even a time of day situation. You might be somewhere in the middle of the day where they hit on BWOs and don't hit on something else.
Right, exactly. You know, it's just, you can translate that to anything. You know, you're not going to throw a head kick when a guy's pulling back. It's not going to land right then and there. You got to, you know, cerebrally think and plan and strategically, you know, you work to a point where you set them up for you to be more successful.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, man. So I got to ask you this as we're coming to wraps here. Is there anything that we haven't covered yet so far that you want to get out there to the people, to your friends, family, supporters, teammates, anybody?
I just want to say, like heavy, heavy appreciation for everyone that does support me every day. I'm getting followers through social media and just followers in the Super Jew Army. And it's awesome, the motivation I get. I took that L, and it was a huge learning experience, not only in the sports aspect, but also to see the amount of support I have in my fan club, that they're not going to be here only when there's an O on the other side, but when I take L's, they're going to be just as appreciative to be by my side. That last fight, our pay-per-view sales like quadrupled anybody close in that same card, so that made me feel really good. Know that if you are supporting me, I'm putting in the work and the effort so that I can perform to what you guys want to see, so not let you guys down in any fashion, any way. This fight is definitely going to be violent. I'm pretty sure this guy wants to bang. I'm fully down for it, so there should be blood. Make sure you buy a pay-per-view. It'll be out soon. I'll get that shared on all my platforms. If not, come see me in person. Buy tickets ASAP. I'm running out of tickets personally, but you can still buy them on the Pueblo Convention website. That'll be in my social media feeds as well, so look out for that. Last and foremost, utmost gratitude and appreciation to my management company, Molly Wop Entertainment, and specifically Steve Gross, my coach, Jake Ramos, and Genesis Training Academy, my boy, Jordan Kurtz, with comments from the Peanut Gallery. I'm really looking forward to that commentating from you. I know my dad's looking forward to that too. So appreciate you, dude. That's it.
Awesome, man. Well,
I'm leaving.
Thank you so much for the kind words, man. I can't wait. I'm excited to get back in the saddle. I mean, it's been since the last card that you fought on, you know, with all.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's awesome for you guys. You guys are going to be just as excited. So, yeah, it's going to be a weird atmosphere. I can't wait.
Oh yeah, I'm like that bull who's in the gates right now, like ready just to fire out of the chutes. Like you know, he's bucking and he's going crazy. He's wild. He's ready to go out there. Eh? I'm ready to give him hell out.
He's gonna say, you might say some weird things. It's been a little while. Give him some time.
See, that's always a worry, but I also feel like the fact that I talk on the microphone so much every single week as it is already. You know, I'm with Ron Kruk from the LFA for, you know, a couple of hours every week, just talking the game, talking, you know, fight stuff, and doing it in a professional broadcast sense with our radio show, the MMA Plug on Mile High Sports, 98.1 FM here in Denver. You know, so I think that having all of those reps and consistent reps all the time throughout the last year, I think that that's helped keep from developing my ring rust, if you will.
Absolutely.
Obviously, you know, live, there's nothing that you can do. It's no different from you in training versus anybody else out there. There's nothing that you can do in practice that can simulate game speed. I can sit there and I can break down film. I can do analysis all that I want, but there's always going to be a difference of being able to sit there. Okay, I need to understand what I'm seeing, comprehend what's going on, and then coherently formulate a response that is going to be able to provide a picture for someone who say that they're just listening for the audio. That's what I think when I'm doing play-by-play is if someone only has the audio, can I paint the picture for them of what is going on in the fight?
Yeah. Awesome. So, you're going to kill it. Again, it's one of the reasons we're doing it. I know you're going to bring that high energy. No, I'm going to bring that high energy. It's great having someone commentating that knows what's going on and is educated in the fight game itself. It just makes it more enjoyable for people back home to watch. You watch some of these guys today and you're like, what are they talking? You can just tell that they're talking, supporting one certain fighter, depending on what affiliation they may have. So appreciate you being, you know, in the middle and giving that good fight-based commentary. And let's do this again soon, dude. Let's do this post-win.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, my brother. I know you're going to bring that moxie on June 5th, and I'm going to be bringing that energy just the same myself. So this is the Comments from the Peanut Gallery podcast. That is my man, Micah Haas. You can catch him on June 5th down in Pueblo, Colorado at the Convention Center. This is the Comments from the Peanut Gallery podcast. You can check me out once again on 98.1 FM, Mile High Sports Radio. That can be streamed as well on denversportsbetting.com/radio. That is every Wednesday night from 6 to 7 p.m. Mountain Time. And thank you again, Micah. I really appreciate your time, brother.
Appreciate you, dude. We'll talk to each other soon.
Sounds good, my man. You folks, see you later.
Yeah, brown skin, short legs, and fat ass. Son, that's my type, I cannot pass.